Amen. Well, we're getting ready to wrap up our tithes and offerings series on having a grateful and a thankful heart. If you have your Bibles today, you can open up to Psalm 75:1. And when I was praying about today, the Lord gave me something different to share on than I normally do. And then I saw Steve working on his stuff, and I was like, oh no, am I going to preach your message? But God must want you to know about some American history this morning because he put it on both of our hearts today. As you know, Thanksgiving is coming up, and there are reasons for us to give thanks, but I really felt like one of the reasons the Lord wanted us to give thanks is for the country that we live in. Amen? I've been all over the world, and there is no place like this. There is no place like this. You can walk on other soil, and you can literally feel the difference. I remember when I came home from one of my missionary trips, we got to Hawaii, and I literally walked off the airplane, and we all looked at each other. And we're all like, can you feel that? It was like you could feel this weight lifted off of you. It's that different in other countries. We have so much to be grateful for being here. Can you grab my water for me? Sorry. But let's look at Psalm 75:1. I'm going to look in the Amplified Bible first. We're going to do a couple different versions. And it says, we give thanks and praise to you, O God. We give thanks for your wonderful works. Declare that your name is near. Your people declare your wonders. Who declares his wonders? His people. Let's look at, let's flip my page here. Look at the Living Bible. How we thank you, Lord. Your mighty miracles give proof that you care. So we're giving thanks to him for the mighty miracles, and they're illustrations to us of how much he cares for us. Then we'll look in the New King James. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks. King James makes it double, right? We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks. We've talked about it before. When something is repeated more than once, that means you need to pay attention. Amen? So we give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your wondrous works. Declare that your name is near. And then the New Living Translation, we thank you, O God, and we give thanks because you are near. I love this part. People everywhere tell of your wonderful deeds. And part of the problem is if we don't know our history, then we don't know what God has done. Amen? And we can read through Israel's history because that's in the Bible, right? But more and more, they're taking American history out of America, which is a problem because then we don't know who we are. When you don't know who you are as a nation, then you get lost. Amen? And I was thinking about this and I was praying about this, and the Lord said, just briefly go over our American history. Most of you know the Pilgrims came over on the Mayflower. They were known as separatists, which is different than the Puritans, because the separatists knew they had to leave the Church of England and create a new church, a new church that had freedom to believe, freedom to read the word for themselves. Amen? And so they came to America. They landed 200 miles north of where they were shooting for into what is now known as Massachusetts on November 11th. So they got here on November 11th. Does anybody know what the weather is like in the northeast in November? It's not pretty. It's not pretty. It's very, very cold. And in that winter, they lost half of the people that came over. That's a lot of people. Right? I mean, they weren't a big group to begin with, but half of them lost. That means husbands, wives, friends, and they were down in numbers. But they never gave up, and they continued to trust in the Lord. And then in the spring, they met one of the Native Americans, Samoset, who came to them and greeted them in their own language. He began explaining to them how to live in this area. He went away and a week later came back and brought Squanto. And Squanto ended up living with the Pilgrims and accepting the Lord as his Savior. Aren't you so glad for friends? Aren't you so glad for friends? Samoset brings Squanto to the Pilgrims and he gets saved. How many of you are a result of a friend or someone that loves you bringing you to Jesus? Amen? There's a reason to be thankful. And that over that spring and summer, Squanto taught them how to farm. He taught them how to hunt. And there was such a bountiful harvest that year, that next year, that they decided to spend 3 days giving thanks. Not just one day, 3 days. 3 days of giving thanks. And as one of the, Edward Winslow, one of the main pilgrims, said, he said, although it has not always been plentiful, it was at that time that the goodness of God gave us so much that we were so far from want. Hallelujah. Amen. Has anyone in this room ever been so far from want? That means you are blessed. Amen. And then a lot of times we don't know this, but the next year there was an extreme drought that took place. So much so that they weren't sure that they were going to be able to have a harvest at all. And it says, Governor Bradford. He was the governor of the Pilgrims at that time, a year later. And it says that they prayed, and they prayed in front of the Indians. And the Indians witnessed clouds starting to appear in the sky. There was no rain, there was no thunder, but in degrees of abundance, the rain came and soaked the earth. So much so that by the end of the summer, they were able to harvest no small harvest. I love how they talk in those days. It's like you got to kind of turn it around, right? No small harvest. And we would say it was a big harvest, right? All because of prayer. And it said that the drought was been broken through. And so the pilgrims again offered thanksgiving. And it became a practice that was designated as an official time of thanksgiving, not only for the colony, but for them to invite others around, the Native Americans, to come and celebrate with them. This is how Thanksgiving began. Our founding fathers were descendants from the pilgrims. So they grew up, we don't think about this, but they grew up hearing the stories. Do you remember when great-grandpa and all the pilgrims came over, or great-great-grandma and all the pilgrims came over, and what the Lord did? It wasn't just something that they created on their own. It was passed down through the generations, the stories of the goodness of God. Amen? And so that's why when God does something in your life, you shouldn't just keep it in. You should pass down to your children and your grandchildren the stories of the goodness of God. Remember when God did this in great-grandma's life? I remember when God did this in grandma's life or my mom's life. You're passing down the stories. Why is that important? Because what does it say in Psalm 75:1 in the NLT? People everywhere tell of your wonderful deeds. That's what brings thanksgiving into the hearts of people, is when you tell. And so the stories had been passed down. And Noah Webster, anybody ever read a Webster dictionary before? Well, Noah Webster was the schoolmaster to America. He was a direct descendant of Governor Bradford that we just heard. And he said, thanksgiving is a public celebration of divine goodness, a day set apart for religious services specifically to acknowledge the goodness of God. What? What? The guy who wrote the dictionary that everybody in the world looks to for information about American English words? This is what he said. This isn't just Joe Schmo. This was someone important that we still to this day use his book. This is not just a flighty person. This is someone with impact who's saying this is a day set aside to acknowledge the goodness of God. Then you fast forward a little bit more. And sometimes we don't know about this because it's not a known fact, because Mr. Lincoln gets the credit for being the one who started the Thanksgiving Proclamation and began adopting the day of Thanksgiving. But what you may not know was he got to this point because of a lady. Her name was Mrs. Sarah Joseph Hale, and she was the editor of Gade's Lady's Book. I think I pronounced her last name wrong. It was a popular magazine containing poetry, artwork, and articles by America's leading authors. She set on a persistent campaign for Thanksgiving to be established. And she kept on insisting until somebody listened. But her reasoning was this: the American people have two peculiar festivals, each connected with their history and therefore of great importance in giving power and distinction to their nationality. The 4th of July is the exponent of independence and civil freedom. Thanksgiving is the day of national pledge of Christian faith in God, acknowledging Him as the dispenser of blessings. I love that. The dispenser of blessings. Thanksgiving is a national pledge of Christian faith in God, acknowledging Him as the dispenser of blessing. These two festivals should be joyful and universally observed throughout our whole country. And President Lincoln listened. And that's how Thanksgiving became established in America. Don't ever think that one person's voice doesn't matter. One person's voice standing up for what is right. And that's what she was saying. She's saying, we celebrate 4th of July. And yeah, we celebrate Thanksgiving. But Thanksgiving was not a national holiday at this point. It was up to the states. And they would decide when and where it was held. She was saying, no, this needs to be a national, federal, well, at that point it wasn't federal, but a national holiday set up for the entire nation to set aside time to give thanks to God for His goodness. Amen? So this is not just the fourth Thursday in November, yeah, and sales are the next day, right? No, this is a day when you should gather your family, gather your friends, and make a declaration. Share the stories of the goodness of God. You may say, well, it's just me and one other person. Then sit there and talk about the goodness of God. Well, I'm all by myself. Then call somebody and talk about the goodness of God. Pass down those stories of His faithfulness to your children and your children's children and your children's children's children. And let those be the stories that everybody gathers and goes, remember when? And let them share the goodness of God in their lives. Why is this important? Why is it important for us to give thanks? Because when we give thanks, we change the atmosphere. We change the atmosphere. I've gone to places and people have been arguing or complaining and there's strife or there's division. And one person will start talking about, well, I'm just really thankful for what God did in my life this year. And even if they're not Christians, their mouths close. Why? Because when you begin to thanks, that is an action of praise, and that ushers in the presence of the Lord. Amen? So when we have Thanksgiving, this should be not just be any other holiday. This is a holiday set aside to thank the Lord for all the blessings that He's poured out in your life. Amen? So I don't know what you've done in the past for Thanksgiving, but this year, give thanks to God. Give thanks to God and tell someone about His goodness in your life and in your finances. Amen? In my mind right now, I'm just being peppered with all these memories of things that God has done in our finances, whether as a church or even just as us as a family, of the goodness of God. Amen? This past year, you all know that my dad had inherited property from my grandma. And it's land in North Dakota that's right by the Badlands in the hill area over there. And it was a blessing that had been passed down through the generations to her, and then she passed it on to my dad. And it was a piece of property that at the time of her passing might have been worth $30,000 maybe at the most. Not a huge amount, right? And we've been praying and trusting the Lord and really hadn't really thought much about it. And my brother's one of those people that gets honest about things. Get this taken care of. Check this out. He had been doing some research on grandma's property. I don't know what the... Well, it's over 100% of what it was when my grandma passed. And so that blessing came into our family this year. That's just one thing I can think of the goodness of God, to multiply and multiply and multiply and multiply until the right season of their lives to be able to reap the harvest. Amen? But you know what that wire that harvest came from? See this tithing envelope right here? Faithful givers. Faithful givers. So we've heard from Thanksgiving to Thanksgiving to Thanksgiving, even from the time I was a child, about how God is faithful when you are a tither and a giver. And I can tell you to this day, there are generational blessings that are passed down to our kids and our nieces and nephews of the goodness of God. So when we gather together at Thanksgiving, we're declaring the goodness of God in our finances and in other areas of our lives. Amen? Because that's what God does. He multiplies and blesses. And that's the story you have to tell for the future generations, is God takes care of you when you are a tither and a giver. Amen? Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just thank you so much. We are so grateful for the place that you have placed us in for such a time as this. It's not by accident, Father. And we thank you for this amazing country that you have allowed us to live in. We thank you, Lord, for those who took the risk to leave everything behind and to separate themselves unto you. And I pray, Father, that we would follow in their footsteps today and we would separate ourselves unto you as well. And some of the things that make us different is we don't do things that the world does. And we don't make choices that the world chooses. And Father, we also don't play the game of religion. We know that this is a relationship that we have for you. And so, Father, when we come into your presence, we come not with empty hands, but we come bearing gifts. And those gifts are our finances today. And, Father, I thank you for every seed that is sown, no matter the size today, Lord, that you would bless that seed and you would multiply it, Father. You would send people like you did to that original colony, Father, that you would send people to show us what to do with our money, that they would have the wisdom to show us where to plant and when to harvest, that they would show us the right kind of place, right kind of seed to plant in the right kind of place. And, Father, that you would also send your rain of anointing upon us, Father, that those seeds would grow and flourish, and that it would be not so great of a harvest. Whoops, not so small of a harvest. It would be a great harvest, Father. And we just praise you for your faithfulness today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
We're going to talk about Thanksgiving proclamations today. Well, I think it's just good to be thankful for where he's brought us. Is the point. And to, like Jeremy Pearson said, celebrate, how did he say it? Maybe someone saw this. Celebrate your progress. That's what he said. Because the devil tries to get in on you and tell you, show you where the lack is. Right? Like a pastor, you know, to look at empty seats. Right? And it's like, no. That's not Jesus thinking. Right? Amen? No. He sees the people that are here, and he celebrates the progress that we've had, and he celebrates the provision that he's brought. And provision, I like that provision has the word vision. I mean, provision without vision is dangerous. Right? Amen. So we celebrate these things. Hallelujah. But I want to just spend some time right now talking about, you know, as we're in this time of Thanksgiving. How many know, this is cliche, but all the time should be times of Thanksgiving with the Lord, right? Not times of complaining and whining. And I'm preaching to me too, right? And talking to God about where is this and where is that, and I've believed for years for this and had faith for that, and where is it? Where is it? Sometimes we just got to get ourselves by the ear and say, hey, get back to the Word. Amen? I think in about 10,000 years, we're not going to care where the new car is or where the bigger house is or the bigger church building or the, you know, whatever specific things that you've been believing for years. How many know Jesus has already done the heavy lifting of our salvation? And I think one of the greatest stories in the Bible about this is where he sends his disciples out two by two, and they have power over demons and sicknesses and diseases, and they come back just all fired up. And Jesus tells them, I saw the devil fall like lightning. Right? How many know the devil fell out of heaven when he rebelled? He fell, right? And he reminded his guys, yeah, that's great, but the real thing you should be thankful for is that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. So no matter what seems to be going right or not going right, or how I feel today or circumstances, the truth is I have my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that's really all that matters when it comes down to it. Amen, right? And that's why this verse here in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in regards to a thankful heart, in everything give thanks. Somebody say, in everything give thanks. And notice it doesn't say for everything give thanks. So sometimes we're giving thanks, probably more than we know, in faith. Lord, despite this issue I'm facing and this or that issue, I give you thanks that you're on the throne. How many know over the past 4 years with all the craziness in our nation, there was a lot of opportunities for the body of Christ to simply give thanks to the Lord? And how many of you did? You were obedient. Things didn't look good. Things didn't sound good. But yet, Lord, we know you're on the throne. We are on the throne. You are on the throne. No matter who's in the Oval Office, you are on the throne. And we thanked him and we praised him and we rejoiced. And we had to stir ourselves up, like the Bible says, to do that. Amen? And why do we do that? Well, it tells you right here, right? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So if it seems like the will of God isn't happening in all these other areas, I don't have to be concerned about all these other areas. I just need to be concerned about where Steve is right now. Because that's a full-time job, keeping Steve focused. Amen, right? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen. So God is not going to accept the answer, well, I'm not thankful right now because this is happening over here. Well, that's not my will, but my will for you, Steve, is that you remain in an attitude of thanksgiving and praise. Hallelujah. No matter how it looks, no matter how it sounds, no matter how it feels, somebody just say, praise the Lord. And sometimes we just got to say, yeah, well, praise the Lord anyway. Praise the Lord anyway. Amen. Because he is above only and not beneath. He's on the throne. He's in the heavens. He's coming back. Glory to God. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. He's the financer. He's the joy. He's the love. I mean, really, Jesus, if he gave you Jesus, what else is there when you think about it? There's a scripture that says, if he already gave you Jesus, then how will he not also give you all things? Things. I refuse to let a thing or a lack of a thing dictate to me what mood I'm in today. I refuse to do that. Hallelujah. Somebody just say, praise the Lord. Praise his holy name. Well, there's some Thanksgiving proclamations I want to look at, but in regards to this painting up here, these are some people that had to endure some things. And these are our forefathers, right? And I was listening to Rabbi Joseph Shulam minister on the Torah portion this past Saturday, and it was the story of Abraham coming into the promised land. He got promises from God. How many know this book is full of promises to you from God? And one was he would have a son with Sarah, Isaac. Another one was land, right? And they're like 100 years old. And Isaac is finally born, right? And they go to the land, but the rabbi brought to my attention that they didn't own, he said, a square inch of it for years. For years. In fact, the first piece of land Abraham bought, see, he didn't just get a promise from God and go start taking over everything. Right? That's not what God promised him, the land, but he didn't go there and just start starting wars, conquesting. No. How many know there's a waiting season with God? He went into the land. Isaac was born miraculously. That's its own story in itself. But Sarah passes away. And so he's got to buy a tomb. And that's the first piece of land he owned in the promised land, was a tomb for his wife. And then he had to go on. But the rabbi was talking about their example of persistence and steadfastness in the midst of waiting and waiting and waiting. How many know when you're waiting and waiting and waiting, keep believing and believing and believing and praising and praising and praising and being hospitable? They were hospitable people. And that's the same spirit of faith that these people came here with. Right? And Shelley talked about it, how the first year, half of them died. Now you'd think most Christians nowadays, they would quit. Right? I'm going back to Egypt. I'm going back to wherever it is I came from because this is too hard. Somebody say, this is too hard. No, actually, there was a devil. See, we got to look beyond the physical into the spiritual. There was a devil who was trying to stop God's plan. Can you imagine if radical Muslim extremists were the first ones here? Or the Chinese, or somebody with other religious faith that is much more aggressive and volatile than biblical faith? Can you imagine that? Luke said that once. He may not remember this, but it turned a light on in my head. Because that's an argument he heard from somebody at school. Oh, you white people coming to this land and taking over, and his response was, well, can you imagine if one of these other groups had gotten here before us? See, God had a plan. And I was reading, I won't read much out of this portion here, but there was an article on wallbuilders.com, David Barton. And the title of the article in 2023, I think it was May, was "No Revisionists, Thanksgiving is Not a Day of Mourning." So it was an article he was writing in reply to, I believe it was a student from a secular university that asked him to help. He was like, hey, I'm being told this, that the pilgrims were land-grabbing murderers of Indians, and that Thanksgiving really should be a time of mourning for Native Americans. And Brother Barton, he went into this whole article. Somebody say this, with footnotes. With footnotes. He said, we have documents, we have speeches, we have historical things that are written down that show us what really happened. And he said, all the people that are saying this narrative of Indian killers, land grabbers, stealing land, conquesting, he said, I couldn't find anything before 1990. Somebody say 1990 from them. And only a couple things. It's just more this blanket narrative statement. But he showed, line by line, precept by precept, he said that the pilgrims actually, and you can go and look at it, it's again on wallbuilders.com, and the article is called "No Revisionists, Thanksgiving is Not a Day of Mourning." And he shared how the pilgrims did not steal land from the Indians. Shelley talked about Squanto and the tribe that befriended them, and the gift of God that they were to show these people how to live in this new nation, this new land, right? What a gift from God they were, a gift from, and they talked about that. And the peace, they had a 54-year treaty with Indians. Somebody say 54 years. And they did not take anything from them, they bought land from them. Bought land, somebody say they bought land. There was one guy, he shared a story that bought the same land from three different tribes because they all were fighting over it. They were the a lot of these Indians, some of the tribes, they were the aggressors, right, in some cases. And he said there was this one specific chief that called himself King Philip from another tribe that got very, very mean toward the pilgrims because missionaries, not because they were stealing land, but because missionaries had gotten in the Christian faith and people that just loved Jesus. How many of they weren't killing people and torturing people? They were very bothered that some of these tribes were brutally torturing probably other Indians, right? And just treating people terribly, torturing them, killing them, brutality. And so they began to reach them with the gospel. Somebody say, with the gospel. And hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these Indians were getting saved. And so you can read the whole article. It's amazing. I want to actually go back and look at some of these footnotes and things. It's a study, right? And we need to know these things. But because of the Christian faith, because of Jesus, how many know God raises up leaders, but Satan also will raise up leaders. And this one chief who called himself King Philip has created this thing called King Philip's War. He began to attack, surprise attack on pilgrims and villages and burning and murdering and all this kind of stuff. So they had to create an army to defend themselves. It was a just war, self-defense. Amen. So these are just some of the things whereby a college professor saying the pilgrims were all about murdering Indians and stealing land, simply not true. Simply not true. Amen. Now there were, as we know, there were unjust things that happened. He goes on in the article about 200 years. How many know things change in 10 years, right? 200 years later, when the nation is moving west, occupying, taking over the West, there was some bad stuff that happened then where Indians were unjustly killed and their land taken from them. And it was bad stuff that happened in certain areas as they moved west. But that's 200 years later, right? And there's more things to study in regards to these things. But it's important that we have this stuff straight, that there wasn't this bad blood between pilgrims and Indians. There was actually a treaty that lasted 54 years until so-called King Philip broke it. And they began to war and all this kind of stuff. So it's good knowledge to have. Amen. But I can't recommend that website, Wall Builders, enough. And I love that David Barton is so big. I've heard Rick Renner say this too. Footnotes. Where is your source? Where are you getting this information? Right? And that's something our college kids should be asking. Where did you get that information? Just because your professor is so-and-so. See, there's a lot of teachers nowadays that are self-proclaimed activists. Not all of them, certainly not all of them, but many. And the judgment of God is coming on the Department of Education because of how they've misled children. But see, if parents and grandparents will educate ourselves in some of these key areas, then we will see mighty, mighty things that God can do in our nation. Somebody say amen. But our president, Shelley was talking about Abraham Lincoln. I want to look at a few things that presidents have said over the years. Just three of our, you know, presidents. Obviously, the first one being, I don't think I need this section. The first one being George Washington in 1789. And these are Thanksgiving proclamations. He says, I am going to wear them. Whereas it is the duty of all nations, I don't want to blow by this. Somebody say this was not just an American thing. George Washington had a bigger vision than the USA, right? He's just being biblical. Somebody say biblical leaders are good, right? Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. There's a good heartbeat on who America is and our roots. What's the purpose of government? Especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Hallelujah. So that's another message too. Amen. But government, I guess the point is government needs to remember its place. Hallelujah. Amen. But I want to look at Psalm 103 and read some scriptures here too, because he talked about the term grateful for his benefits. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Somebody say amen. I'd encourage you to read the whole chapter. But these are great things to remember and to speak out loud. Make your own Thanksgiving proclamation, right? And use the word to do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just read those again. He forgives all of our iniquities, heals our diseases, redeems our life from destruction, crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies, satisfies our mouth with good things, and renews our youth like the eagles. Now, who wouldn't sign up for that? But see, the devil does a real good job of making it sound like, you know, racism or murder or conquesting or, you know, just trying to take things that God is doing and make it sound evil. But he's the evil one. He's the troublemaker. I think Kenneth Copeland had a book they were talking about the other day from, I think it's years back, called The Troublemaker. We know who the troublemaker is. And we're going to be the peacemaker and the peacekeeper in the name of Jesus, right? Shelley talked about Abraham Lincoln. So now we're on to 1863. You'll notice this goes over years and years and years and years. Because why? Because Thanksgiving comes from the heart. It comes from the Word, and God's Word is eternal. David Barton was sharing that there's evidence that they were having Thanksgiving celebrations in this nation, in the area that would become the United States of America, like years and years and years before the Pilgrims ever were even here. It's a pretty amazing thing. He's actually, if you just type up in your Google search David Barton Thanksgiving and look at videos, he did a thing in 2017 where he filled in on the Glenn Beck show, and there's like a 7-minute clip there where he goes into some of this stuff, and it's remarkable. Amen. Praise the Lord for these people, right? But Abraham Lincoln said this: the year that is drawing toward its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added which are so extraordinary in nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. These are Thanksgiving proclamations from our founding fathers. Amen. And I want to look at Psalm 65 in regards to that one, because he talked about the year drawing to a close. These are great things to remember, that Thanksgiving is a time to thank the Lord for what's happened in the previous year. Hallelujah. says here in Psalm 65, praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion. And to you the vow shall be performed, O you who hear prayer. To you all flesh will come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them. Somebody say, that's a prophetic word about Jesus right there, right? Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. By awesome deeds and righteousness, you will answer us, O God of our salvation, you who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far-off seas, who established the mountains by his strength, being clothed with power, you who still the noise of the seas, the noise of the waves, the tumult of the peoples, and also who dwell in the farthest parts are afraid of your signs. You make the outgoings of the morning and the evening rejoice. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. Here we go, verse 11. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys are also covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. Somebody say hallelujah. He crowns the year with his goodness. So we have to be people that are thanking him for his goodness. Well, it hasn't been a very good year, Pastor Steve. Find something to be thankful for. Well, I still haven't seen the answer to this prayer. Find something to be, you're commanded to. This is not a request. You are commanded by heaven to find something to be thankful for. And do it every day. And do it often. I think that if we continue to be unthankful and ungrateful and find reasons to gripe and complain, it actually can make our bodies sick. Right? And it's not healthy. And it makes other people around us not want to be around us. Amen, right? Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, for life. Amen. And finally, I want to look at, in 1933, Franklin D. Roosevelt said this. I, Franklin D. Roosevelt, President of the United States of America. Now, again, these are hundreds of years have gone by, right? Decades and decades and decades. Well, I guess not 100 years, but you know what I'm saying. Lots of years. And yet, it just keeps passing on, passing on, passing on. Amen? I, Franklin D. Roosevelt, President of the United States of America, do set aside and appoint. Now, this is where the fourth Thursday in November was spoken out by Lincoln certainly did as well, and the others were talking about a day of Thanksgiving, times of Thanksgiving. But back in those days, in many cases, the day would be different in different states and different regions. But Roosevelt is the one that actually penned it for the last Thursday in November. I, Franklin D. Roosevelt, President of the United States of America, do set aside and appoint Thursday, the 30th day of November, 1933, to be a day of thanksgiving for all of our people, that we may on that day, somebody say on that day, right? In our churches and in our homes, give humble thanks for the blessings bestowed upon us during the year past by Almighty God. May we recall the courage of those who settled the wilderness, the vision of those who founded the nation, the steadfastness of those who in every succeeding generation have fought to keep pure ideal of equality of opportunity and to hold clear goal of mutual help in time of prosperity as in time of adversity. And I think if we all could understand in 1933, and all, there were great times of adversity in our nation, right? Wars and all kinds of stuff trying to break out. Sicknesses and, you know, you name it, right? But they maintained a heart of thanksgiving. May we be grateful for the passing of dark days. Glory to God. I think we can say that today. And this time of the year, it's not just symbolic, but it's dark at 4:30. And in the Northwest, it could be 3 with our clouds, right? Spiritually symbolic, right? May we be grateful for the passing of dark days, for the new spirit of dependence on one another, for the closer unity of all parts of our wide land, for the greater friendship between employers and those who toil, for a clearer knowledge by all nations that we... And there you go again, by all nations. That's a good thing to pray. For clearer knowledge by all nations that we seek no conquests, right? And ask only honorable engagements by all people to respect the lands and rights of their neighbors, for the brighter day to which we can win through by seeking the help of God in a more unselfish striving for the bettering of mankind. Isn't that glorious? Praise the Lord for such leaders. Amen. And again, these aren't perfect people, but they're people God used. Donald Trump is not a perfect man, but he is the one that is anointed to do a job. Right? Elon Musk and what's the guy's name? Victor Wamaswamy and other people that may not even come out and proclaim Jesus, but God is using them in places, vital places, to bring people back to the truth. And I believe in Jesus' name that any of them who aren't saved will have that moment where they'll be like, you know what? I don't even know how I got saved, but I'm saved, man. Glory to God, right? So we're not talking about perfect people. We're talking about a perfect God. Hallelujah. And what a miracle. When we look at these generations gone by and this event and how they could have literally been wiped out and how God used people of different cultures and different languages to come together in a nation and become one thing. Hallelujah. See, our cultural differences and nationalities all dwelling together one place is what makes America beautiful. Because guess what? That's what heaven's going to be like. There's not going to be the African section of heaven and the white section of heaven and the Asian section of heaven and the Ukrainian. No. It's called the loving Jesus section of heaven. Now that's the true rainbow. People of all different nationalities and backgrounds and coming together in gifts and talents with one purpose, to love one God. Hallelujah. If you look at descriptions of God, I think it's in Ezekiel or Jeremiah, but he talks about the vision of when God came to, and he described him as fire, right? And if you've ever looked at a fire, you'll see all different colors in there, black and orange and white and brown and green and blue and just all snapping and crackling together, right? It's amazing. Our God is a consuming fire. Glory to his name forevermore. But in connection to what President Roosevelt said, Psalm 118, I want to close with this. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. Pardon me. That's Psalm 119, and we'd be here for a while if I start reading that one. For those of you who know your Bible, right? And we'll read it in the Amplified version, right? Psalm 118. We'll see how far this one goes. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let Redeemed Church say, his mercy endures forever, right? Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. I believe that's why it got from this point and before that point, even to where we are, is because the mercy of God, not just on our nation, but on other nations too, because he's using our nation to help others. Hallelujah. I called on the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust. I believe every one of these people that came here with faith in God would say amen to this. In fact, they might be listening right now in the cloud of witnesses. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Prophetic word again. Because guess what? That's coming. In the end times, in the last day, when the nations come to destroy Israel, this is Jesus talking about something that's yet to happen, right? All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Self-defense. Right? They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like fire thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. Boy, have we seen this just in the past few years. Just think about just since the COVID thing and the race thing and the transgender thing and the thing after thing after thing after thing, the border thing that the devil has tried and tried and tried to divide and conquer and destroy and kill. But by the mercies of the Lord, right? And the prayers and intercessions of the saints of God and people voting. Hallelujah. He's keeping his promises he made to those people right now. Oh, we should rejoice in that, right? You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord has done valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die but live. These are great confessions, right? I shall not die. Everybody say, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me, and have become my salvation. See, if we want access to the Father, it comes through praise. Praise your way right in through the gates. Hallelujah. I don't want to embarrass Verna, but a couple weeks ago, she came through that door praising God. She was praising God for the great victory that happened during that election. Hallelujah. And we joined right in with her. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord forevermore. Here we go. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. Verse 22, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Again, talking about Jesus, right? This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Here we go. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Some of you thought that was a song. And now you know that's in the Bible. And there it is. Right? Hallelujah. Somebody say, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord. He has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. I want us to say verse 28 together. Everybody say, you are my God. In fact, stand up on your feet. We're gonna make this part of our closing prayer today. Just stand up on your feet and lift your hands to the Lord and just declare that. Make this your Thanksgiving proclamation today. Just say, you are my God. I will praise you. You are my God. I will exalt you. Oh, now just begin to thank him today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, 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 Lord, for your great love and your mercy toward us and our families and our nation and our church and America. Hallelujah. We're so grateful to you, sir. We honor you. We lift our hands in thanksgiving and praise to you now. And we thank you that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everybody say, Jesus Christ is Lord over me and my family. Jesus Christ is Lord over my nation, over my home, over my business, over my ministry, over my church. Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, we thank you, Lord, today. We praise you and we praise you and we praise you. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory to his name. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen.